Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Ari Mizrahi, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the
woo!
How far into this show can I take this without talking any hockey? How?
I mean, you can.
I'm pretty good at it.
You can go as long as you want to.
This show into the ditch. Easily, without even trying. But I will admit something right off the bat, and I will follow up a repeat of your introductions. Can you do that again for me?
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to say who's on the show today.
Okay. It's Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Ari Mizrahi, live from the – you want me to do the rest? Or?
No. I didn't know Ari's last name.
Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, you didn't?
I had no idea that was your last name. It never occurred to me that you had a last name, Ari.
I
got to be perfectly honest. I just know you as Ari. I've always just known you as Ari. Every time you text me, you say Ari. When I see you, it's hey Ari. But I've it's funny because I was thinking Chris Chapman, I know, has a last name.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I've never actually gone down the path where I'm thinking about Ari's last name, Jared Justice. I know Justice has a last name. It's weird that I never considered you actually having a last name, Ari, and I apologize.
Don't. It's by design. I'm the weird one out of all those people you just named who doesn't really want his last name out there. I just go by Ari Produces. It's just more fun
that way.
Keep it mysterious a little for moments like this. So.
Wow.
So now you know.
That's incredible. Ari has a last name.
We're M Brothers.
We are M Brothers.
Look that at you really guys.
Sorry, hey, Ryan, you're out.
How we?
That's fine.
How
I'm
we
okay.
doing today? On the heels of the loss last night and falling in seven games to the Dallas Stars, what was the temperature off the post-game show? And more specifically, Ryan, give me your initial reaction. And is it different today than it was in the immediate moments of last night?
So the temperature immediately after the game was more or less one of gratitude for really the entirety of the last two seasons, right? Like, obviously, you win a Stanley Cup. That's something that's never going to be taken away from this organization, this fan base. And I think a lot of people that called in last night leaned into the idea that it's been a heck of a ride over the last two seasons. It has been the highest of highs and certainly – trying to defend that was a new wrinkle that a lot of people hadn't experienced before, the players, the coaching staff, the management, and even the fans, right? So there was a different level of expectation going into the season and certainly a different level of understanding how difficult it is to go back-to-back and win another championship. So that was kind of the immediate reaction to the game last night. There were, there was a call, I think, that was really frustrated and angry and upset at the fact that the Golden Knights lost in the first round, given what this team did at the trade deadline and trying to bolster their lineup going into it. But by and large, I think initial reaction was one of gratitude for the journey over the last two seasons, more so than it was in the fact that it ended last night in the first round against Dallas.
Okay, now you.
Me? It's I'm kind of in the same boat, I'll be honest. Like, listen, it's one of those things where
why do you say to be honest?
It makes me think
that you're lying to me other times.
It's a tick. It's a crutch. It's one of those things that it's part of how I speak and it comes out every now and again. I don't mean it to. It just does.
Like you're not you. Are you? Do you lie to me on occasion and don't tell me?
I've never lied to you. Okay. I don't lie to you. I don't lie to you. I have too much respect for you to lie to you.
Okay. I've lied to you.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I was setting myself up for that. Yeah. That's totally fine. No, to me, it's one of gratitude as well. And listen, I fully understand that when you get a taste of winning, you want to keep doing that. I fully get why fans were optimistic and were hopeful and wanted to see this team go back to back. It's what you want to see. It's what you live for. You want to win. The expectation every year for every team should be to win a Stanley Cup. It's not that for some teams. It is for this team. So in that regard, it feels a little weird that we're not playing beyond this part of the schedule. But at the same time, I can only speak for myself. I can only speak for my experience. Last year was the pinnacle of my career. It was the most amazing ride that I've been a part of. It was awesome. And then we were right back to work, it felt like. It felt like, and I said it yesterday, that we were still in season six in some ways. And even though we've gone through an entire 82-game schedule and we've gone through seven really tough games in the first round of the playoffs, it never really felt like there was a break of any substance between season six and season seven. So in that regard, I think that it was a massive grind, but I still think that when you look at what this team has accomplished on the whole over the last two seasons, it's hard to not look back on it and be thankful that it happened, thankful that I was a part of it, and just have that gratitude for this team and what this team has overall meant to this city.
Imagine how the players feel. Like, if you that experience, where the players' bodies and mentally their approach and status is going from last year to this year, that's why it's so hard to repeat going through it. And the experience that I went through yesterday to today was puzzling to me. It's not like I've ever been through this before. I've always worked for the national network, and I didn't have a dog in the fight. Now I do, and I certainly am incredibly invested in the Vegas Golden Knights reaching the top of the mountain. That happened for the first time last year, and you had this season of being the Stanley Cup champion. And when it officially ended last night, we were aware of the possibility in Game 6. We were aware of the potential of it coming to an end last night. When time ran out and Vegas was eliminated, I was numb. Like, there wasn't really a feeling last night. I didn't really comprehend that it was over. I've done these types of post-game shows or season recaps where you can get a little syrupy. I didn't feel that at all. I didn't have to guard against that at all last night with Darren Elliott. We were just it was very pragmatic, talking through the different elements of what occurred during the season and the playoff series, and then we had a brief look going forward. I wasn't as upset as I thought I would be, given that the team's opportunity to repeat had ended. And then I woke up this morning, and I was sad. Hey, there was a hole in my gut this morning. Really? It's over? Already? The first round, seven games, but it's over already. And this afternoon, there's an emptiness now. Like, I'm getting ready for the pregame show for the Colorado series. We weren't going to broadcast the games, but we were still going to do pregame shows and postgame shows and with this program moving forward. There's an emptiness. I feel awful today about what happened yesterday now. And I don't know whether it was just because I was in the moment and working the game last night, why there was that numbness 18 hours ago, but it's much different today. Today I'm sad. Today I'm empty. Today I feel like I'm missing out. Today I don't want to watch the game tonight.
Yeah.
Today, I don't want to watch the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've never felt that way before. The Vegas Golden Knights came up short in the year 3, 4, 5 that I worked for them. I didn't have that same feeling, and I guess it's because I'd never been part of the winning side before and knew exactly what came along with it. But that's... It was a really interesting journey of emotions between last night not feeling the way I thought I would and today doubling down on that and really being empty.
So do you think it's simply because of getting to the top of the mountain? Do you think it's simply because of the fact that you know how much fun it is to go through that ride?
For sure. Yeah, I've been upset before, disappointed before. We've talked about this in the past, and I've had a frank conversation with George McPhee about this particular specific moment that I'll bring up. when the Golden Knights were in the bubble, I would have, I'm not allowed to bet on hockey, but I would have bet everything on the that the Golden Knights were going to win that year. There wasn't an ounce of doubt that the Golden Knights were going to win the Stanley Cup that year. And I thought that that was potentially the one chance that, or my best opportunity to be part of, at that point, be part of a Stanley Cup championship team. And things have worked out in the positive. But I wasn't as, the day after, as empty then as I am today. And I firmly do buy into the fact it's right now, I've got FOMO because I know what somebody else is going to experience and what we went through last year, what we got to witness those players just owning it. And not the games themselves. I think about the locker room, being in the dressing room after the game, and then watching Mark Stone bring the Stanley Cup up to the Vegas Golden Knights staff gathering at T-Mobile Arena, the parade, the different pictures of the guys taking it around town, and then their cup days, like all of that. I wanted to experience that again, and somebody else is going to get to do it, and I've got FOMO. And I'm pissed off that somebody else gets to do it. I don't want anybody else to do it. I want to do it.
No, so, I mean,
and that's just from the broadcaster side. I'm a team employee.
Sure, yeah.
And I feel that way. I can't imagine what the players feel. And when Mark said last night, like he has trouble getting into like the next round, and he's as big a sports fan as there is on that team. Like broad strokes sports fan, he will watch all of it. And when he said he wasn't excited about the next round, I'm like, yeah, you're. And I woke up today, I'm like, I don't care about Florida Boston tonight. I don't. I'll watch it because I owe it to all of my different responsibilities. But there's not going to be that level of excitement tonight. It'll be, I'll watch tonight because it's a job. And that doesn't happen very often with me.
So it's interesting because I hadn't really thought about that until this moment because I just kind of checked the box. I'm going to put on Florida Boston. I'm going to watch that game. I'm going to consume the second round of the postseason, but I haven't really sat with the idea that I'm going to be going through that knowing that what we got to experience last summer is not going to happen again. I don't know that I don't know that I've gotten to that point yet, and I'm not sure if it would have sunk in as I was watching the game, or if it's now going to sink in because we're having this conversation, or if it's going to sink in at all, because I'm just, maybe the numbness that you felt last night, it might be a kind of a delayed situation for me, because I'll be honest, in terms of the post-game show last night, it was more syrupy than I thought it would be. And that's fine with me. Like I enjoyed that aspect of it. It's always sad to do the last show of a season, but you know,
you were
that
syrupy
being
with
said,
Dan last night.
Yeah, well, I like Dan.
You were syrupy with Dan last night.
Were you? Did you? You weren't listening at that time.
No, but I just
go back and listen.
No, I get that.
Dan tell
send,
you.
People send me stuff.
Oh, okay.
People tell me things.
Well, I like Dan. Dan's a good guy.
You admitted you were syrupy. You had fun with syrupy. I've been syrupy before too. But I'm just saying you were syrupy last night.
Well, I think
syrupy many
is,
times in a row without screwing it up too.
Yeah. Well, I now all I want you to do is syrupy, say syrupy.
Yeah.
There it is. No, I think that maybe that numbness is setting in for me right now because I didn't really have this idea that watching Florida Boston would be simply watching hockey for the sake of my job. And now I'm sitting here wrestling with that ahead of the game. So yeah, I don't know if that was your intention or not, but
no,
I
was curious if I was the only one that went through that last night, because as a fan and as a team supporter and as a team employee, I am directly invested. I work for the hockey club, but I'm also a fan. And I would have expected to be more upset last night. When I watch a baseball game and the other team walks it off, I'm sour right then. I wasn't sour last night. I wasn't feeling anything. And yeah. That changed today. 702-876-1340. Text us. I'm curious what everybody else is feeling. There is a appreciation to what we went through and witnessed last year. Yeah. The Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup. That is definitely there, and I'm glad that there is a theme that carried on with that idea in mind last night. But ending in the first round is different than falling in the conference final or getting back to the Stanley Cup championship series. It's over so fast, and I'm trying to just make peace with that.
Yeah, I think we all expected it would go longer than just one round. And even understanding that it was the Dallas Stars, the top seed in the Western Conference from the regular season, it still felt like this team, based on what they did last year and where their roster was at going into the postseason, that, you know, if it ended, it felt like it would end second round, third round, even possibly in the Stanley Cup final again. Like, I think that's kind of where predominantly the expectations were for this team. And, you know, anytime you go out maybe sooner than you imagine, it takes a little bit of time to kind of wrestle with those thoughts. But, I think that, you know, when you look at it, both these teams were really, really well matched. And, you talked about being pragmatic. When you look at that series, there wasn't a lot that separated Vegas from Dallas.
That might be why I was numb last night.
Yeah.
Why I just assumed that Vegas would come out on top.
Yeah.
There would be a play that occurred, whether it was Dallas making a mistake or Vegas coming up with a huge play, and they would find a way to win. We watched it happen so much last year. We watched it in game six this year, where they just sprinkle some pixie dust and it works out positively. The other part was there was nothing to focus frustration on or to generate frustration. Anytime your team loses, and if you want to say it's hockey or baseball or football, you can go to a primary source. The quarterback stunk. The O-line was terrible. Couldn't get the running game going. The pitching was awful. The slugger went into a slump. In hockey, it's the goaltending needed to be better, or the Stars didn't step up. No pun intended. The Stars for Vegas all contributed at points during that series.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Eichel had a great start to the series. Hurdle contributed. Mark Stone scored three goals coming off the injury. They got the lines going in the last two games. Marceau scored in the first two. The defense scored. They played both goaltenders because they wanted to, not because they had to. They wanted to because it was a strength. The power play contributed. Like, find me the one specific category within a hockey team that determines wins or losses that made the difference in that series. And there isn't one. Could you have got more production? Yeah. Could you have scored more goals? Definitely. But Dallas is saying the same thing. The total goals in the series, aggregate, is 16-16. We should be in overtime.
That's ridiculous.
We should be in overtime. So there was nothing last night that I could focus on to blame, and thus I wasn't as charged up. Now today I'm sad and I'm empty because of what we're not going to get to experience again. And it may be even worse in 6 weeks when I have to watch somebody else do it.
Yeah,
it may be even worse than
exactly.
But there's no one area where Vegas got outplayed, where Dallas was significantly better in this series. There was a 30-minute stretch in Game 3 where it was heavily tilted, and that game went to overtime. So there's nothing that I could take out my frustration on and blame for it, which is kind of frustrating, but also therapeutic, because you celebrate, you enjoy, and you pay tribute and you acknowledge, like the callers did last night, far more than having people that are sour with this, that, or them.
Yeah. And that's kind of the interesting thing about this series in particular, is that, you know, you can look at it and make arguments that both teams should have been able to find a way. Like you thought the Golden Knights were going to make a play. I really did. I thought at some point down the stretch after they went down 2-1, I thought this team was going to find a way. They were going to put a puck back behind Jake Oettinger, and we were going to overtime, and the Golden Knights were going to find that magic, because that's just what this team does. And when you look at all the different metrics, when you look at what this team, you know, didn't give up, what Dallas didn't give up, and, you know, the fact that 16-16, that's the total goals on both sides through seven games, it's just, it's hard to kind of swallow that there wasn't a lot that separated these two hockey clubs, and yet one team gets to move on and the other team doesn't. You know, the Dallas Stars have an opportunity to go out and do what the Golden Knights did last year. And on a lot of levels, it's going to suck if they do. And it's going to suck because the Golden Knights don't get to. And those are things to wrestle with today. But at the end of the day, that series is as close as you can possibly be in the playoffs. And it's unfortunate that it ended with the Golden Knights season and the defense of a Stanley Cup championship ending in the first round.
Look at every other series in the first round of these playoffs. Yeah. And the team that lost.
Sure.
L.A. put nothing into their goaltending, and it cost them.
Yep.
Because their number one guy wasn't close to being good enough. And the organization's third stringer, because David Rittich was the third stringer, he was the insurance, ended up finishing off that series. And their free agent acquisition was terrible.
Yep.
Toronto, the superstars were invisible, and they dealt with some sickness and injury. And it's just failure after failure that city's gone through. Washington, Ovi didn't produce. Mm-hmm. Nashville couldn't beat a third-string netminder. Winnipeg, atrocious defensively.
Yeah.
And fall in the same way that they did a year ago. Just based on the performances, not even taking into account what they did last year, so eliminate that for Toronto, eliminate that for Winnipeg, there was handles to grab onto and shake from what was responsible for the loss. Mm-hmm. We're missing that here. And it's like I need one of those rage rooms just to go in, but I don't know what I'd be mad at. I'd probably just sit there with a sledgehammer on the table that I'm supposed to be breaking, and playing solitaire, because I'm like,
no, you wouldn't do that. You would get into a rage room and you'd slam something.
What do I need to be mad about? This series.
I mean, not this series, but you can be mad about the fact that it's over. I think that's what it is more than anything else. It's
but
not
I'm not
so
mad.
Much,
I'm more sad.
Well, then
that's
you
the
don't
strange
need a rage
part.
Room.
I'm not mad. I should be mad. I'm not. I'm empty and sad.
I'm really sorry.
You should have more to say than just I'm sorry. Like, at least a bartender gives me another drink.
Well, I can't do that for you right now. I would if I could. I want to cheer River. You up.
Phone it into McKenzie River and drop it into Studio 31.
Yeah, just let them know the next one's on me. That's fine.
Do you feel like me? 702-876-1340 on the text line. Ryan feels not... You feel different.
I don't feel anything right now. Like I told you, I think last night was more so about the journey of the last two seasons. Today, for me...
That's unusual. That's unusual because you just got knocked out in the first round as the defending champion.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, the appreciation for the last 2 years should be in a few days, not right after. That tells you right there that it's just it's different, that this was such a great series and mm-hmm. such an even series. Like if they went best of the Western Hockey League, Western Division back in the day, because they didn't have as many teams as the Eastern Division, Eastern Conference, used to have best of nines, because or else their playoffs would end so much because they had one less round. If this makes any sense. So if there was four rounds in the East, or three rounds in the East, they would have two rounds in the West. So they had to make the series longer so they would meet up at the same point. So they would go best of nines.
Okay.
If this was a best of nine, it would have went nine. If it was a best of 11, would have went 11. 13. Yeah.
And the total goals on both sides would have been equal.
Would have been even. And in 9, Vegas might have won. 11, Dallas might have won. Let me know what you think. 702-876-1340. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
This time he connects with Brett Howden. Works forward across the line. Carlson to the right for Amadio. Centers. Howden scores! What touch! Amadio. Howden all alone in front. Brett Howden ties the game. 1-1 with 4:35 to go in the second period.
This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Brett Howden scoring a goal in Game 7 for the Vegas Golden Knights, so who fall 2-1 to the Dallas Stars and are out of the Stanley Cup playoffs after a 7-game defeat in the opening round against Pete DeBoer, who is now 8-0 as a coach in Game 7s. Four of those Game 7s have been involved involving the Vegas Golden Knights. That's one of the crazier stats that that I saw, was how much he is tied to this franchise. 2 against them, and he's 1-2 for them.
Yeah, it's really wild. It's kind of hard to talk about Golden Knights history without talking about Peter DeBoer and kind of his place in all of it. But, you know, as you mentioned, he's 8-0 in Game 7s, and the two victories for the Golden Knights in Game 7 are courtesy of Peter DeBoer, and the two losses in a Game 7 are also courtesy of Peter DeBoer, just on the other side of the equation.
Golden Knight players had an 80% win rate collectively in Game 7s going into last night. So that was one of the reasons why I thought that they would eventually, somehow, some way, the hockey gods would set it up that the Vegas would be out on top. And quite frankly, I'm not used to being wrong with my disappointment in that regard. Like, I expected to be on the right side of it. Alec Martinez and Alex Petrangelo were both 5-0 in Game 7s prior to last night. I need a little bit of therapy today. So, Ari, the text line is open, and we've got some responses. Can you give me some of the response from how people are feeling today?
Sure. Let's start off with someone who agrees with you. I'm with Darren. I don't even want to watch hockey anymore, or any more hockey, I should say. And seeing another team celebrate with the cup will be hard to accept. That's from Vicky.
I'm with you. When it comes time, I watch the Stanley Cup presented every year. It will be different this year, knowing where we were a year ago and what the feelings are. Now, there's some great storylines left that will eventually win me back. For the next 36 to 48 hours, I'm going to pout for a couple of days.
So you think you'll be good by the weekend?
I think I'll be good by the weekend. I'll be able to shake it off.
Oh, that's good.
What else
I'm
we have?
Glad
Ari?
To hear that.
Totally different, Vicky here. But Darren, I woke up sad this morning too. I was sad last night watching Martinez skate off the ice and taking one last look around the rink.
That was incredible. I don't know whether you saw that, Ryan, during your telecast or your broadcast last night, but watching Alec Martinez, who's on an expiring contract, three-time Stanley Cup champion, and boy, has he left it out there with his body. Like, it's mm-hmm. been just beat up over the years. And there's nothing to say that Alec Martinez wouldn't be able to play somewhere, if not back in Vegas next year. He's an unrestricted free agent. But you just got that feeling when our cameras from Scripps Sports were following him through the handshake line and then going towards the door that that took him to the Vegas Golden Knights dressing room. He did stop. He turned around and he looked at the building. Up and down, and then he leaned over on a stick and waited for everybody to come off and just took a breath, and then had an embrace with the team security director, Tom Monahan, as he walked off the ice. It gave you that feeling that there might be news there to come where he is in that career. And that got me a touch, because Alec's such an amazing human being and just a cool guy. Got to spend some time with him. That pulled at the heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, listen, I make no bones about my rooting interests when I didn't do this for a living, and Alec Martinez supplied me with one of the greatest moments of my fandom career in 2014. So. I'm with you. I mean, you kind of have that moment where you see that he is soaking it all in, taking it all in. It certainly leads you to think about what the future may hold for Alec Martinez, the mileage that's on his body. But you know, the simple fact is he is instrumental, and in terms of the history of the Vegas Golden Knights, instrumental in helping deliver a Stanley Cup to this franchise. And the hope is that if he does continue, if he does want to continue to play and play at a high level, he can do it here for this Golden Knights team.
Back to the text line, Ari.
Okay, just moved on me. Give me 2 seconds. There we go.
Another Vicky?
No, but this is kind of funny because we'll have another Stephanie later. But for now, this Stephanie, I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. Watching the other games tonight and the rest of the playoffs is with nothing on the line is kind of freeing. I can just watch the games purely for the hockey itself.
It's funny because I watched the Toronto-Boston game 7 and had that mm-hmm. similar type of approach. It was the night before the Golden Knights showdown against the Dallas Stars. And I said to my wife, you know, she worked for the Maple Leafs and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment for 15 years. So she still has that that bond with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there was a little bit more engagement emotionally for her. But I watched that game 7 as the most neutral person on the planet and just enjoyed every minute of it. There wasn't an ounce of stress in it. And I'm with Stephanie. Like last night was... That was hard.
You also watched that Leafs Bruins game knowing what the outcome was going to be. Didn't really matter how we got there. We knew what was going to happen.
I don't know. I wasn't sure because they were both tortured. Boston being on the verge of blowing a 3-1 series lead in consecutive years and making NHL history.
Sure.
And then Toronto and what their stumbles over the years have served up. I thought it was even money. And going to overtime was perfect.
The Bruins have been tortured for 2 seasons. The Leafs have been tortured forever.
It's great drama. And being
I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I was so happy we didn't have that. It was a totally different. Like Dallas Vegas is excellence. That was two great teams of Dallas knocking on the door trying to get back to a Stanley Cup, but they've been good. They've been really trending towards that in Vegas, defending the Stanley Cup. Back to Ari.
And I apologize if I messed the name up. Satine says, moving past this loss, the Knights better hit on their first-round pick and hit with a difference maker, especially with how depleted draft pool is in the future. Along with winning, we need to supplement the roster with young talent like the Wyatt Johnstons of Dallas, along with their veteran star players.
Yeah, that's not going to happen in the sense of the way they necessarily build their teams. Like Wyatt Johnson and Maverick Bourque, who you will know about in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. He was one of the best players in the American Hockey League, led the American Hockey League in scoring. And Logan Stankoven was right there with them before Stankoven got called up. They do have some young talent there that they are going to build around. Vegas constructs its team differently. They do make trades. They do acquire free agents, and they backfill on that. You saw a great example of it with Ivan Barbashev being acquired, given the contract, and then you move a player out who's on the longer end of their career, and what Riley Smith was. So I think the first round pick's important. It always is. It's should never be taken for granted, but it doesn't always mean that those picks are going to play for you, because you might use them to acquire talent that's ready for right now.
Yeah, and kind of to that end, I think that the idea of wanting a younger roster is certainly one that is intriguing, but I think what you're looking for more than anything is growth and development from some of the youngsters that are still inside the organization. Think the Pavel Dorofievs, the Paul Cotters of the world, those guys continuing to take strides, continuing to kind of push themselves in the right direction. If they come back and they are difference makers for the Golden Knights going into next season, or at a minimum, they just take that next step in their development, then you're going to have that roster supplemented in the way that you'd like it to, just not with a first-round pick kind of making an immediate impact for next season.
Yeah, Dorofiev, Cotter, Korzak would be players that you think play in the National Hockey League next year based on what they've done, and play important roles in the National Hockey League next season. Dorofiev was up all year, Cotter second straight season in the National Hockey League, but didn't play in the playoffs. Take that next step. Korzak up and down this year, but acquitted himself very well. And then you've got people like Cormier and Brisson. Mm-hmm. Spend more time. Debuts are in the rearview mirror. Now you want to be spending at least half the season up and making more of an impact. Let's do two more before we go, Ari.
Sounds good. Rita says, I'm fine. The team has given us seven wonderful years, maybe more than any team in its first few years, though the year we missed the playoffs totally broke my heart. Going to give them hell next season.
Love that. And again, not often the Stanley Cup champion goes out in the first round and you get that type of response. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because they played the Western Conference's top seed. Maybe it was because it was a great series. It has to be something in there. It's not just because they won last year and they were nicked up with injuries. There's got to be more to the competitiveness of this series that plays into a reaction like that from Rita, who can get a little salty.
I think you're kind of hitting the nail on the head there, because I do think the fact that it was the number one seed in the Western Conference matters. I do, in the Dallas Stars. And I do think that it matters that it was a seven-game slugfest between the two. And that when you look at it at the end of the day, again, there's not much that separates Vegas and Dallas. So in that regard, I think the way that the series played out, how even it was, and the fact that you were going up against the best team in the Western Conference in the regular season probably changes how you view the series if it were over in five games and it was, you know, one area of the game really lagged behind everything else, and that's why you lost.
All right, last one.
All right, been crying since last night. This is Diane. Been crying since last night, but with pride watched Valiant and the Stanley Cup Knights movie on ESPN. This team is not like any other team in the league because of how they were created and every accomplishment no other team has done in 7 years.
Boy, Diane, that gets me emotional that you're that locked in watching Valiant and going through the emotions of being so proud of a team that is just coming up short of defending a Stanley Cup championship. That's impressive. That's not the usual take that we would get on Sports Talk Radio the day after a team's eliminated.
Again, I think that the overall temperature when you view it in the context of what this team means, and I know that championships change what the expectations are or should be, I just think that this kind of underpins that this team is more important to this city than just being a professional hockey team. And the fact that they were able to deliver, the fact that they were able to win a Stanley Cup, and the fact that they were able to defend that through the regular season, make the postseason, and come up just a play short, a goal short, has cachet beyond just this year. And I think that there's also an underlying belief from many fans that they're going to be back, and they're going to be back to prove something once again to the National Hockey League next year. And, you know, we've talked about how dangerous that can be for everyone else when the Golden Knights are in that position.
Love to just pursue the influence of this connection between Vegas and the Golden Knights a little bit more, and how that has led to this reaction from the first round loss. We've got more to come. We'll tee up hour number two next on the VGK Insider Show on Fox.
We're back to the Findlay Chevrolet Studios and the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Thanks to everybody who sent us a text. We'll try to get to a few more in hour number two, see if Ari's keeping track of all the feedback that's coming in regarding just the emptiness that I'm feeling today and the sadness that overwhelmed me this morning after being numb last night. I'm not angry. I'm not throwing things. Never did any of that last night. Didn't screech down the street out of the parking lot. None of that. Just sad. Now I have to turn around and get my game face back on for the second round of the playoffs. Going to take 36 to 48 hours before I really grab hold of it. We'll be a couple of games in. I want to do this in the next couple of days, do a draft of the second round and the favorites. And we'll do it in a sense where we'll be educated a little bit, like the Rangers have already started. We've got the Panthers and Bruins going tonight. So hopefully we won't let that really influence us, but there might be something there. And I want to pick from 1 to 8 who we think will advance to the conference finals. In the meantime, for going forward without the Golden Knights for the next three rounds, like, how do we stay present? Do we adopt a team? I have no interest in that. Zero. Like, I am not going to grab on to somebody else's club just because ours is out. And I can't tell you which team that would be. You're not taking Dallas. They just beat us. I understand why Canada was upset with Vegas last year, because we knocked two of their teams out. They're not going to cheer for us. Yeah. Edmonton's not getting my vote. Florida, the animosity in last year's Stanley Cup final, so I can't do that. Do you pick a player? There might be something there. So do we each pick a player to follow along? Not necessarily the team. Mm-hmm. Or do we pick a team to root against? That's pretty callous. That's sour. There's karma there that might come back and bite us too.
That's the type of idea I expected from you.
Yeah. I'm not right sure I can go down that route just because I'd be afraid of karma coming back and kicking
tempting
my butt.
The hockey gods.
Yeah. But picking a player, if there's any suggestions there on how we get ourselves back engaged coming off this disappointment, let us know. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show coming up, including one-timers, news notes, a lot coming out of the National Hockey League next.